Yes, ma'am.
Okay, The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. First of all, the title caught my interest 2 years ago, A Pilgrimage, something with religious fervor. Now, we've heard of Chaucer and his pilgrims on their way to Canterbury. One time when I lived in England, a friend and I suddenly decided to go to Paris for Easter. And so we took the train down to Dover and the shuttle bus, the bus came along to take us over to the Hovercraft Port, and we jumped on. We were barely moving when a priest got on the microphone at the top, and all the people pulled out rosaries, and he said, "Now we will say our first novena on our long pilgrimage to Lourdes."
Oh my goodness!
So, as we got to the Hubbard Port, Lynn and I jumped off quickly and escaped from them. And talking of another pilgrimage, a Hamilton lawyer, Paul Milne, did a pilgrimage on the, what's it called, the Camino de Santiago.
Yes.
And he planned it.
Jim. So it's our Jim, right?
Your Jim did it too. But Paul did it a couple of years ago. He planned it for years. He had the right walking boots, the right socks, he had the Vortex clothing. He had a blog that, so he sent wonderful messages and photos and everything. So he was prepared. And he had a compass, and sometimes he walked with others, but alone a lot. So here we come to Harold Fry, who started out on a pilgrimage, not at all prepared as the folk I described. So it was unlikely, and that left me interested too. A letter that would change everything arrived on a Tuesday. Harold Fry sat at the breakfast table looking at his toast. He wore a shirt and tie. Harold was 65 years old and retired after 45 years, within the past year, he'd been a sales rep at the local brewery. Maureen, his wife of 47 years, was a slight woman with silver hair and a brisk walk. Today's post brought a pink envelope with a postmark from Berrigan Tweed, just below the Scottish border. This mysterious envelope was addressed to Harold Fry, 13 Fossilbridge Road, Kingsbridge, in South Dorset. It was from Queenie Hennessy, a woman who did the finances at the brewery years ago. She was very good, reported Harold. She had written to say goodbye as she had terminal cancer. Harold was in tears and proceeded to write her a letter. "Dear Queenie, thank you for your letter. I am very sorry. Best wishes, Harold." He copied the address of St. Bernardine's Hospice, sealed the letter. Wearing his waterproof jacket and his yachting shoes, he said to Maureen, "I'll just nip to the post box." So here are our three main characters as Harold sets out to mail his short letter. And now off we go with Harold. Harold passed the first and then the second till post box, and on he went, walking. As he became hungry, he stopped at a garage for a snack. As he ate his burger, he told the young garage girl about Queen. Her advice was that you had to believe and keep positive. If you have faith, you can do anything. You have to believe that you can make a difference. She told the story of her aunt who had cancer. She got better because the girl believed she could. Following this conversation, Harold started walking north in the direction of Berwick-on-Tweed, he thought perhaps. If he kept believing, then Queenie would live. So, with no mobile phone, no compass, no map, no proper socks or walking boots, Harold walked. The first evening, he phoned the hospice using his debit card. Queenie could not speak. She was asleep. His message was, "Harold Fry is on his way. Tell her to wait. I'm going to save her. She must keep living. Will you say that?" Along the way, he met one fascinating character after another. Harold had never been away from home without his wife. He had no plan. First night, he stayed in a hotel and tried to be invisible, hiding himself from the other guests. But at breakfast, the lady who had shown him to his room the previous night, with whom he had confided his plan, was an elder waitress and talked about his walk. "If we don't go mad once in a while, there's no hope." The whole room gradually eventually joined in conversation with Harold. Back in his room, Harold realized he was an old man, let alone a pilgrim. But as they all believed in him, he felt more certain. As he walked, he felt that all of England opened beneath his feet. Now back to Harold Moring's marriage. The two fell in love very quickly more than 47 years ago. He was tall and out on the dance floor, wildly dancing alone. He saw Maureen at the side, small, pretty, with twinkling eyes. They had many happy times together. They were in love. They had a son, David. Harold had trouble being close to his son. His own mother had died when he was young. His father was a drunken bully who thought he was a Casanova. There were many so-called aunts who came and went. Some nurtured Harold. He found it hard to express any emotions and preferred to hide from the world. He was always frightened. As David grew up, he rebelled against everything. Although he was very bright, he went to Cambridge, he had long hair, attitudes, and no love for his parents. He drank heavily and rejected his parents. Maureen had blamed Harold for all of this. She moved into the spare room and never returned. He longed to be open with her and touch her again, but the spark had vanished in their relationship. He had no skills at loving anyone, as he had never been loved. He said there was no escaping your beginnings, even with a tie. Now that Harold has left, Maureen was in a state. How dare he leave after I put up with him for 47 years? It was all new and wrong for her. She talked to David constantly, polished the frame of his Cambridge photo. The truth about David was that he had hung himself in their shed as a young man. Maureen always blamed Harold for not being a good and loving father. She could find no other reason. As the days passed, Harold recalled so many happy times in his life, marriage, fatherhood. He kept in touch by postcard and would phone Maureen. He also asked the hospice to tell Queenie not to give up. Tell her that I will keep walking. The nurse had told him, when people have no family or friends, they tend to pass quickly. She's waiting, Mr. Fry, like you said she should. Harold's body was wearing out. His feet were covered in blisters. His calf was scarred. He was so exhausted he fell. A lady with a foreign accent took him into her home. She was a doctor from Slovakia, but living in England, she was now a cleaning lady. She cared for his blisters and scrapes and made him rest before he could continue, now with fresh plasters on his feet. As Harold continued his walk, he became a celebrity in the news, a pilgrim on a mission. A young man and a dog stuck with him. Then more people, including a man in a gorilla suit. He was overwhelmed with this crowd wearing pilgrim shirts and managed to escape quickly. Maureen and their neighbor Rex, a widower, found Harold in Darlington, about three quarters of the way along his walk. It's just nice seeing you again, she said. You look so well. It was years since those blue eyes had seemed so vibrant. Both of them expressed how they missed one another. But Maureen, I've spent my life not doing anything. And now at last I'm doing something. I have to finish my walk. Queenie is waiting. She believes in me, you see? They both tried to forgive each other. Harold asked Maureen if she'd like to join the walk. She left him there to continue his walk alone. Now, as we move more quickly to the end, and there are many, many people along the way that he talked to and got different impressions from, and he impressed them. The mysteries and truth now come out. He wrote a letter to the girl in the garage who had told him about her faith and her dying aunt. I walked